Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Welcome back.
Me?
Yeah. You were on your European excursion.
Right. Yeah. No, I forgot because I've been back for so long. I've been back for 5 days.
A whole 5 days.
It's already sunk in. But yes, I am back from Europe and I have a lot of stories. I have a lot of opinions.
Great.
And I have chocolate.
Yes, you do. Well, it's going
nearly gone.
Going quickly because it's Swiss chocolate and around me, it's not going to last very long. So
it's so good. I really wonder, though, if the one I got is just like a Hershey's bar to them.
That is very lucky if it is.
Which I just don't think they realize how good it is. If that's the case.
I've heard that our chocolate, like Hershey's chocolate, tastes like vomit to them. And sorry to be gross, but like that's a thing, is that our chocolate tastes really bad to people who have actually good chocolate.
Yeah. Well, Which makes sense. I've also heard soap tastes like soap to some people.
Sure. Whatever. Point being, we got good chocolate right now, and that's pretty great. But you know what else is great? It's spooky season.
That's true.
Yeah. So that means that we're going to be talking about some weird stuff. And I'm excited to get into our story today because we're going to be talking about children who have memories of their past lives.
Okay. That's creepy. I do feel like I was one of those kids.
Do you?
But I don't remember what my story was. Hmm. And my mom can't remember any time that I might have done that. But
you don't have any kind of inkling as to what you could have remembered? I guess like for many of these kids, like even if they have the memories of their past lives, they do tend to like diminish as they get older. So
yeah, I don't know. I remember saying something, but I don't remember what that thing was.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I said something. I don't know what it was, but something was said.
And then I remember my mom mentioning something like, oh yeah, you said this when I remember her saying that about my memory when I was like 9. So I'm reaching.
Yes.
Pretty hard, but
yeah.
Yeah, some of these are creepy because some of them are like very detailed.
Yes, and there is a lot of like actual research into this, and there are many cases. It's really cool.
Yeah. So case for reincarnation is stocks going up.
Pretty strong. Yeah, I don't know what to believe, but some of these cases are very compelling. So why don't we just jump right in and start talking about it? Because I think it'll be an interesting conversation.
Why don't we?
Okay, great. Reincarnation is the religious or philosophical belief that the soul or spirit, after biological death, begins a new life in a new body that may be human, animal, or spiritual, depending on the moral quality of the previous life's actions, aka karma. In most beliefs involving reincarnation, the soul of a human being is immortal and does not disperse after the physical body has perished. Upon death, the soul merely becomes transmigrated into a newborn baby or an animal to continue its immortality. Reincarnation is a central tenet of the Indian religions such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, and Sikhism. In various forms, it occurs as an esoteric belief in many streams of Judaism, certain pagan religions, including Wicca, and some beliefs of the indigenous people and Aboriginal Australians, though most believe in an afterlife or spirit world. A belief in the soul's rebirth or migration was expressed by certain ancient Greek historical figures such as Pythagoras, Socrates, and Plato, and it is kind of part of Christian beliefs as well. They do believe that certain people are or can be reincarnations of biblical figures, such as Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary. Some Christians believe that certain New Testament figures are reincarnations of the Old Testament figures. So, I found that really interesting that so many religions have reincarnation in some way.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And I went full Catholic. You know?
Catholic is, I think, one of the ones that
does not
have any kind of reincarnation.
For sure.
Yeah. Cases of young children who report memories of previous lives have been systematically studied for the last 50 years.
Really?
Yeah. In many cases, the child's statements correspond accurately to the life and death of a deceased individual. Some children have birthmarks or birth defects congruent with wounds or marks on the deceased person, using post-mortem reports to confirm.
Whoa. That's so interesting that there's a study and then it matches up that closely. Because we've always joked that I was like murdered or like died in a war in a past life.
Yeah, got stabbed in your neck.
Yeah, because I have a birthmark on my neck and then one in my like stomach.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, could be a knife or a bullet.
Yeah, it looks like someone went straight for your jugular.
Well,
that was always a thing.
I don't know.
I mean, at least for me growing up, there was so many people that was like, oh, what are your birthmarks? Like, where are they? And how did you die in your past life? Like, that was a conversation that was had. So it is interesting that, like, there are actually cases of, you know, this child being like, oh, I have memories of this specific thing in this specific life and this person. And you can match that to a direct person that has died. And then all of the statements match up to that person's actual life, including the way they died. And then that child's birthmark. Like, so cool.
Wow. All right. Well, tell us about it.
Okay. I'm doing that. Older children may retain these apparent memories, but they generally seem to fade around the age of 7. So here's a list of statements that are examples of what some children may say if they're experiencing memories of their past life. You're not my mommy / daddy. I have another mommy or daddy. When I was big, I used to have blue eyes, have a car, I work downtown. That happened before I was in mommy's tummy. I have a wife, a husband, or children. I used to drive a truck. I used to live in another town. I died in a car accident or after I fell. Remember when I lived in that other house or was your daddy? Like, things like that. Like, there's so many different types of reincarnation cases where, like, a child will say, oh, I was your parent in my past life, or not your parent, or like your grandparent or your sibling that died. Or there's other people, other children who experience like, oh, I died in World War II, which is what we're going to talk about later.
Wow. Okay.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
In Western culture, these types of statements often get dismissed as fantasy, even though they might contain something other than pure imagination. And it's probably best not to repeatedly question the child, nor try to prevent them from speaking about these topics, according to the experts.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hurting anyone.
It's true.
Let them speak their truth.
There are decades of credible research led by the late psychiatrist Ian Stevenson and his successor, child psychiatrist Jim Tucker at the University of Virginia. They've accumulated more than 2,500 cases of kids with spontaneous recall of a previous life. These are young kids who generally begin talking about a former life between the ages of 2 and 4, and whose statements have been verified. In a 1999 interview with the New York Times, Stevenson said, "Science develops ideas of what is so, and it becomes very difficult to force scientists to look at new data that may challenge existing concepts. I'm not trying in any way to replace what we know about genetics and environmental influences. All I'm offering is that past lives may contribute a third factor that may fill in some of the gaps in our knowledge." Ian Stevenson began studying children who claimed to remember previous lives almost by accident. Enjoying a successful mainstream career with some 60 publications in the medical and psychiatric literature to his credit, he had become chairman of the Department of Psychiatry and Neurology at the University of Virginia in 1957. The following year, the American Society for Physical Research announced a contest in honor of William James for the best essay on, quote, "the topic of paranormal mental phenomena and their relationship to the problem of survival of the human personality after bodily death."
What a title.
I know. Huge, huge title. Very cool sounding. So this was definitely intriguing for him, and in his readings had come across reports of individuals claiming to have memories of previous lives or, quote, "apparent memories of former incarnations," as he called them. And these reports came from a number of sources, such as books, magazines, and newspapers. Ian analyzed 44 of them as a group in a paper that won the contest and was subsequently published in 1960. He was impressed with the similarities in cases from different countries and different kinds of sources. Ian Stevenson said, "These 44 cases, when you put them together, it just seemed inescapable to me that there must be something there. I couldn't see how they could all be faked or they could all be deception." So Ian was very quickly hooked, and he began accepting funding support from Chester Carlson. His donations made it possible for Ian to create essentially a new field of research. And it was one dominated by cases of very young children, as the individuals who claimed memories of previous lives usually began doing so at a very early age, often when they were 2 or 3 years old. Many talked about the end of the life, which frequently had ended suddenly or violently. Some claimed to have been deceased family members, but others said they had been strangers in another location and often showed emotional longing for the previous family. Ian discovered that in such a case, people have often gone to the other location and found that someone whose life matched the details given by the child had, in fact, died. Therefore, after some delay, 20 cases suggestive of reincarnation was published in 1966. The cases in it were ones for which Ian had made painstaking efforts to determine exactly what the various children had said to verify how well the children's statements matched the lives of the individuals they thought to remember. 20 cases alone involved cases in India, Brazil, Alaska, Lebanon, and a bunch of other countries. The cases were easiest to find in areas with a general belief in reincarnation and with the help of assistants in those places. Ian went wherever he needed to go for the research, sometimes traveling over 50,000 miles a year. One criticism of Ian's work was that the cases he was reporting had all occurred in places with a general belief in reincarnation. But Ian addressed this in 1983 with a paper about a series of 79 American cases. He compared them to cases from India and found that though few of the American children had made verifiable statements about a previous life, they resembled the Indian cases in many ways, including the age at which the children first spoke about the previous life, the content of the statements they made, and their related behaviors. He noted that many of the cases had taken place in families without a belief in reincarnation.
That's interesting. Also, I don't know. I guess how would the belief, like if your family believes reincarnation, like are you really teaching your child that at 3?
No, I
like,
don't think
do
that
they teach that concept that early on.
I guess I don't know, but I don't think the families like in India, for example, were necessarily teaching their children about reincarnation at that age, but more so when their child starts talking about their past life experiences, they're not going to like dismiss it or act as if it's a fantasy or like an imaginary friend type thing. It's like they'll listen and be like, that's really interesting. You were probably reincarnated. Let's look into that.
Yeah, fair.
Another area that interested Ian was the behavior of these children. He wrote a paper about phobias that many of the children showed, usually related to the mode of death from the life they claimed to remember. He reported that 36% of the children in a series of 387 cases showed such fears. They occurred when the children were very young, sometimes before they had made their claims about the previous life. For example, he described a girl in Sri Lanka who, as a baby, resisted baths so much that three adults had to hold her down to give her one. By the age of 6 months, she also showed a phobia of buses, and then later described the life of a girl in another village who had been walking along a narrow road between flooded paddy fields when she stepped back to avoid a bus going by, fell into the floodwater, and drowned.
Wow. That's freaky.
I know. Ian also wrote about the children's play. He reported that in a series of 278 cases, almost a quarter of the children engaged in play seemingly related to the lives they described that was unusual in their families and had no known role model. This often included the previous person's occupation, such as a boy who became so wrapped up in his play as a biscuit shopkeeper that he fell behind in school, and a girl in India who described a life as a sweepstress, and who not only enjoyed sweeping, but also happily cleaned up the stool of her younger brother when they defecated in the house.
What?
She just really liked cleaning.
I guess so.
And then later on was like, oh, by the way, my past life, I was a cleaner. And then they verify that. Like, so cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Ian explored unusual behaviors in a series of Burmese children who reported lives as Japanese soldiers killed in Burma during World War II. Many of them showed behaviors that were unusual in Burma, but typical of the Japanese. These included such items as wanting to wear Japanese attire, like trousers, belts, and boots, rather than Burmese attire, wanting to eat raw or partially cooked fish instead of the spicy Burmese food, and personality features such as industriousness and, consistent with the occupying soldiers, cruelty and harshness. Ian thought this was one of the most important papers he had written for some years because it explored a possible third component in the development of personality. So that's just the the top. That's just the background information that I found incredibly interesting. But now we're going to get into some specific children and their stories and experiences.
Okay. I would like to comment, though.
Yeah.
The the case of the Burmese children is really creepy.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking is, does it have anything to do with location at all? If like a quote-unquote soul dies, like in Burma, mm-hmm. like you die in Burma, you'll be reincarnated into some other child there?
Well, in some cases, that was what was happening. Like, for instance, the girl who was afraid of the water and the bus, she later said she was reincarnated from the girl who died a few villages over, who,
right.
you know, so sometimes it's just, oh, I lived in that other town kind of thing. But then other times it's like, oh, I live in America, but I'm actually a reincarnated Japanese soldier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it seems to not really have a location basis. I don't really
Interesting.
Know. Interesting. Yeah.
And then, I don't know. My other question is, well, what happens, like the population's growing? Are there just new souls?
I mean, there's a lot of dead people, so...
Yeah, I guess you're right. But like, I just didn't know if there's like, you know what I mean? The math of it all.
It's
like,
an
is there a fixed
number?
How do new ones come in?
Right.
You know?
It's a very interesting question, but I could never have the answer to that.
I know, but like, know? I don't know. It's just wild that somebody from a like real university who's very published mm-hmm. is looking into this and gives it a lot of credibility.
It's super interesting research. So do you want to hear about James Leininger?
I do.
Great.
Good old James.
He had memories of being a World War II pilot and getting shot down. So James was born on April 10th, 1998 to Bruce and Andrea Leininger, a Protestant couple in Louisiana in the U.S. From the age of two, James made statements and demonstrated behaviors that suggested he remembered the life of an American pilot killed during World War II. This was a young man who was later identified as one James M. Houston. The case...
How do they identify people?
I'm going to get into that.
Okay.
The case has garnered significant attention as the Leiningers told the story in several television interviews and eventually wrote a book about their experiences. Though the case has the weakness that James's father was the one who worked to identify the previous personality, the substantial documentation that is available suggests a striking similarity between James's statements and the details of the life of the death of one particular pilot. According to his parents, the first noticeable incident in the case occurred in February of 2000, when James was only 22 months old. His father took him to the Kavanaugh Flight Museum outside of Dallas, since they were living in Texas at the time, and James was fascinated by the planes, and in particular, the World War II exhibit. When they left after 3 hours, James had some toy planes, as well as a video called It's Kind of a Magic About the Blue Angels, the Navy's flight exhibition team. James loved the video, and he watched it repeatedly for weeks. The trip and the video started, or uncovered, his love for planes, and this passion may have led to some of the knowledge of planes and flying that James often surprised his parents by voicing. But the video was clearly not the source of James's information about World War II, since the Blue Angels group was founded in 1946, after the war ended. James and his father made a second trip to the museum later that spring on Memorial Day weekend. James was again excited throughout his time there, though he grew quiet in the hangar that housed the World War II aircraft. He stood there staring and pointing at the planes as if in awe. Within 2 months of the first trip, James developed a habit of saying, "airplane crash on fire," and slamming his toy planes together, nose first, into the family's coffee table. He repeated this behavior over and over, producing dozens of scratches and dents on the table. James's father traveled a lot, and when James and his mother would see him off at the airport, James would often say, "Daddy, airplane crash on fire." This happened repeatedly, despite his father's admonishments. Around this time, James began having nightmares. His behavior during them seemed to have involved only screams at first, but then included words as well. "Airplane crash on fire, little man can't get out." James would shout this over and over while thrashing about and kicking his legs up in the air. And after a few months of this, he had several conversations with his parents about the dreams, usually as he was preparing to go to sleep. He indicated that there were memories of events from the past. He said his plane had crashed on fire and that it had been shot down by the Japanese. 2 weeks after those statements, James said his plane was a Corsair, which was a fighter plane that was developed during World War II. And he talked about flying a Corsair several times. On August 27th, 2000, when James was 28 months old, he told his parents he had flown his plane off a boat. When his parents asked him the name of the boat, he said, "Natoma."
Whoa.
After that conversation, his father searched online for the word and eventually discovered a description of the USS Natoma Bay, an escort carrier stationed in the Pacific during World War II.
Wow. Okay. Well, lining up.
Right? James's parents asked him a number of times for the name of the little man in his dreams. He always responded with "only me" or "James." A few weeks after James gave the word Natoma, his parents asked him if he could remember anyone else who was with the little man, and James responded with the name Jack Larson.
A last name? This is wild.
One day when James was just over 2.5, his father was looking through a book he was planning to give his own father for Christmas called The Battle for Iwo Jima in 1945. His father reports that James pointed to a picture showing an aerial view of the base of the island where Mount Suribachi, a dormant volcano, sits, and said, "That's where my plane was shot down." His father said, "What?" And James responded, "My airplane got shot down there, Daddy." A week after that, James's father talked to a veteran from Natoma Bay who remembered a pilot named Jack Larson. He said Larson flew off one day and never returned, so no one knew what happened to him.
But this is the person he was with?
Yeah, this isn't the person he was reincarnated from, I guess, but this was someone he, like, flew with.
Whoa. Okay.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
James's parents eventually contacted Carol Bowman, who had written a book about children's past life memories. They began a lengthy correspondence with her, and following her advice, James's mother started acknowledging to him that the events he was describing had indeed happened to him before, while emphasizing that they were in the past and he was now safe. The nightmares then grew less violent and less frequent.
Interesting.
James's parents said that when he became old enough to draw, he drew hundreds of battle scenes involving planes. He signed them James 3. When his parents asked him about this, he said the 3 referred not to his age, but to his being the third James. And he continued to sign his picture that way even after he turned 4.
Whoa. I mean, this has gone on for how long? Years?
At least 4 years. Now he's like around 4. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure it didn't start till he was like, what?
I guess he was probably somewhere around 2 when it started.
Right, when he started talking.
Yeah.
That's so creepy. So James the third. What's his real name like in the life that he is in now?
James Houston.
James Houston.
Yes. And so, oh wait, no, his name isn't James Houston. His name is James Leininger in this life. But in his past life, he was James Houston.
Is that determined later?
Yes, yes. Okay. So they figure out that the person he's kind of connecting to, I guess, if you want to believe in this stuff, is James Houston. So James Houston, the pilot, was James Jr. And he was like a third, you know, like it was the third James down in his family.
Hmm.
So, you know, this little kid is signing his paper James 3, all of his pictures like that. And he's like, oh, it's because I'm the third James. And, you know, this pilot was James Houston Jr.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's wild that he's named James as well.
I know. You know? I thought that was like interesting.
I know it's a common name.
It is.
You know.
But still, I was getting confused when I was doing this research because I was like, wait, is James the boy or is James the pilot? And
right.
Then it's both.
Yeah.
So in June of 2002, James's parents were interviewed by ABC News for a segment that was to be a part of a program called Strange Mysteries, which never aired. But at the time of the interview, Houston had not been identified. But everything James had said lined up with this man's life and the way he died. He said, quote, Mama, before I was born, I was a pilot and my airplane got shot in the engine and it crashed in the water and that's how I died. And for verification, there is a memoir written of a veteran who saw Houston's plane get hit. James's father also talked to 3 eyewitnesses. One later told a television interviewer, quote, I saw the hit. I would say he was hit head on, right in the middle of the engine.
Like with another plane or with like a rocket or something?
I think it was shot. His plane was shot. Yeah.
Wow.
And he died in the Battle of Iwo Jima. That's what James said, like the kid. And the verification for that is Houston was one of the pilots from USS Natoma Bay killed during Iwo Jima. His plane was shot down as he took part in a strike against transport vessels in a harbor on nearby Chichijima. I believe it's like an island or something off of Japan or something.
Okay.
Yeah. But isn't that crazy? This kid is like, oh yeah, I died in Iwo Jima. And like this pilot was a part of the USS Natoma Bay killed during the Iwo Jima operation. Like,
yeah,
that's
I mean,
insane.
It's not like 100%, but
yes,
it's
it
like,
is.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like there could be more details that he would...
He's no, 3.
Let me make my point, for Christ's sake.
Okay.
It's damn close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like he hasn't said his name yet, like, in the past life.
Well,
like, you said you're getting to that, right?
So his mom asked him what his name was, and he said James. He didn't say Houston.
Right, but he didn't say the full name.
Sure, but he did say Jack Larson.
Yeah, that
one's
weird.
Who flew with James Houston.
Yes, but this is my point. It's like 95% there.
I'd say 99 or 98.
Whatever, okay.
Like, this is as close as you can get.
No, it's not. I mean, this is like he could have described his upbringing, how he got drafted in the army, any events
done.
Leading up to his death.
I'm not done.
Okay, but this is where I'm at. Okay?
You're being
Meet
a hater.
Me where I am. I'm not being a hater. I'm saying like this is crazy close to
it is.
Reality.
Yeah, and just the fact that his mom was like, oh, what was the boat called? And he said Natoma.
Yeah, no.
Like,
I would pass away if this was my kid. Like, seriously. Are you kidding me?
He kept having these nightmares of planes crashing on fire and sinking and being unable to get out. And then the verification for that is aircraft action report states no wreckage of the plane was left afloat. So the plane went down and it continued going down. So it's very, very possible that James Houston did drown after his plane went down.
Oh, God.
And he kept saying he flew a Corsair, which was technically incorrect for Houston, who was flying an FM-2 when he died. But Houston had flown Corsairs earlier when he made test flights with VF-301. So he didn't go down in a Corsair, but he flew them frequently. And pictures of Houston with Corsairs and Squadron VF-301 was verified through interviews by James's father with a veteran and son of veteran who served with Houston in the squadron. Corsairs got flat tires when they landed, is what James said. And an Air Force historian who was interviewed in a segment stated that Corsairs bounced when they landed, frequently leading to flat tires.
Wow.
Isn't
that's
that
a crazy detail for him to say.
How would he know that? I mean, all of these words at all for a 2 to 4 year old knowing them is like insane. But specifically, he's like, oh yeah, and the tires would pop when we would land. Like, there's no world in which this 4-year-old...
Like, they're not feeding him, like, mad history books,
no.
Right?
No. No. He had that video from the, you know, museum, but again, it was just about that specific group that was formed after World War II. So it had nothing to do with any of this stuff.
I see.
And for another thing that was correct that James said, he said he flew his plane off a boat, and as we know, he named Natoma, which was confirmed to be what James Houston was flying off of. So everything he said was correct, or at least partially correct, for Houston. 2 months later, James's father wrote a letter to the veteran who had told him that a Jack Larson had served on Natoma Bay. In the letter, he mentions this John M. Larson, again documenting this part of the search. A month after that, James's father attended his first Natoma Bay reunion. He learned that the Jack Larson from Natoma Bay had survived the war. Though he was not at the reunion, he was still alive, and James's father soon visited him. And he learned that only one pilot from the ship was lost during the Battle of Iwo Jima, and that was 21-year-old James M. Houston Jr. from Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Nuts. After this reunion, James's father turned his focus on Houston, because now he had a name. So he started doing all of the research he could into James Houston. He learned that Houston did not actually die on Iwo Jima itself. Instead, as the battle continued after the initial assault, he was one of 8 pilots from the ship who took part in a strike against transport vessels in a harbor as the Japanese were preparing a buildup of troop replacements and supplies. His plane appears to have crashed exactly as James had described. The aircraft action report for the day states that Houston's plane was shot down and includes a chart of the paths each pilot took. Jack Larson, the one name James gave, is shown as the pilot of the plane next to Houston's. So Jack Larson was flying with him that day. He didn't necessarily die that day, but he was there.
This is insane.
I know. As Houston was the only pilot from Natoma Bay killed during the Iwo Jima operation, and his details closely matched James's statements, his parents concluded that he was the man whose life James had recalled. They even talked to Houston's sister on the phone. It took James's mother about 6 weeks of research to find anything about Houston's family, but she found Anne Barron, who is the older sister of James Houston. But she couldn't just tell this sweet old woman in her 80s, hey, I think my 2-year-old is your reincarnated brother. So she said she had been researching World War II aircraft carriers called Natoma, and she wondered if they had any photos. And Anne was very sweet, according to Andrea, and she was willing to send some photos of her brother. They checked the mail repeatedly, and finally they got the photos, and they couldn't believe they were finally seeing James Houston standing in front of his Corsair plane. They did eventually tell Anne about their son and his connection to her brother, and they did meet her. They said James was immediately very comfortable around her. He had no problem going up to her and putting his arm around her, and he called her Annie.
Whoa.
She later told James's parents that her brother Jimmy, aka James Houston, used to call her Annie.
Dude, what the fuck?
Imagine you're a 4-year-old and you have never ever met this old woman. You go up to her, you immediately are very, very comfortable, and you call her Annie.
Oh my God.
It's so crazy. She said the information was really shocking, but she did believe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just hard to dismiss this.
I know.
At this point, you know?
It's unbelievable.
He's given so many, like, specific details.
Yeah.
And so many behaviors that you just can't explain away as, like, oh, he's just born like that or whatever. Right.
And that's what's so cool about Ian Stevenson's research. And there was another guy, I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now, but they have 2,500 cases that are basically just like this. I mean, obviously with different details, but like this amount of detail and verification.
Wow.
It's so cool to me.
It's insane. I just don't know how else would you go about proving that this is real?
I don't know. I mean, it's right? Very kind of spiritual and at this point, something we don't really have a lot of scientific backing or information on. So, I mean, that's what makes it so difficult is what he was saying is there is a science that's in place and believed, and it's really difficult to get scientists to believe that there's any kind of woo-woo shit that's real, you know?
I know, but, you know, it's like anything that's discovered is woo-woo until they figure it out.
I guess, yeah.
So if you can reproduce and kind of be really painstaking about the details about 2,500 cases and you're just going to keep getting more.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people didn't understand freaking electricity or like magnets before.
That's true.
They nailed down the physics. So I don't know. Obviously this is not physics, but.
No. Yeah. Very spiritual.
You know, my point is that I don't know if they study it for long enough, maybe it'll just become like, oh yeah, of course.
Right.
You know,
that would be so cool. That'd be so cool.
I don't know. For that to happen in our lifetime, I'd be like, Jesus, like, this is insane.
What is life? Seriously, that would send quite a few people into a spiral, myself probably included, but still really, really cool. So eventually, James's parents took him to Chichijima to have a memorial service above where the wreckage of James Houston's plane would have crashed. And Andrea was hoping that this trip would be a way for James and her whole family to lay this thing to rest. It was basically like a funeral, and they were going to say goodbye to James. They were a little concerned about how James would react once he was there, but Bruce had prepared this nice memorial service, and they brought flowers to lay on the water, and initially he seemed fine. But when Andrea said, "It's time to say goodbye and leave it behind, you need to move forward and live your life."
How old is he at this point?
I don't know. To be honest,
okay.
He was under 10, I would say. She said, "You need to move forward and live your life as James Leininger." And James started to get visually emotional and upset. He took the flowers and threw them on the water and then came to a salute.
Wow. Okay.
It's just every single detail. He said, "James M. Houston, I'll never forget you." And then sat back down and cried for 20 minutes. James's parents said he gave other details as well, but no documentation of them exists. That was made before Houston was identified. And his mother had made notes of them, but she said she either lost them or threw them away after she and her husband wrote their book. James's parents reported that he had knowledge about World War II planes in general and about life on Natoma Bay that impressed them. His fascination with flying and World War II might explain his general knowledge, but not his ability to give details about Natoma Bay that his parents did not know. He demonstrated knowledge about events from 50 years before he was born. A number of his accurate statements were documented before the previous personality was identified, making him part of the limited number of cases that include such records. Fraud must always be considered and often cannot be ruled out definitively, though James's parents did eventually write a book about their experiences that was published when James was 11 years old. It seems unlikely that this led to a wholesale fraud from the beginning. The payoff of a book at some point in the future would hardly seem worth a multi-year fraud scheme.
Yeah.
And fraud had no other potential benefit and carried a substantial risk of being ridiculed by friends and family and strangers. So basically, the consensus here is that, yes, fraud is technically possible, but also
unlikely.
It's very unlikely.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Also, if it was a scam, James's parents would have missed a golden opportunity to present their story to the world during the interview for ABC's News Strange Mysteries. They only said their son appeared to be recalling the life of a World War II pilot that had not been identified. And Houston didn't come into the picture until nearly 2 years later.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe that they had a memorial service and he saluted.
I know.
So strange.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess for them it became normal.
Right.
You know, but just hearing about it from where I sit, it's insane.
Yeah. And it seems like after they did that, he did kind of let it go and like move forward in his life as, you know, James Leininger. But yeah, I don't know. There have been many cases where a family will take their child to where they said their past life was and have like kind of a memorial service for it. And then they can move forward and let it go.
Interesting.
Very cool. Yeah.
Hey, I don't know what to make of that.
Oh yeah. Also, a number of people other than James's parents had heard him talk about his World War II life by then, which meant that baby James would have had to have been in on the scam if it was a scam. Because they're like,
yeah.
Multiple other people heard him talking about it. It wasn't just his parents.
Yeah, they're like training him.
Right. From like 2 years old, his first word is Natoma. Like, I don't think so.
Plane, crash, fire.
Yeah. Fire, go down, crash, little man can't get out. Like, I don't think so.
I don't know. I feel bad for James Leininger, though, because it sounds like he had a lot of night terrors. And
yeah.
I'm sure that this wasn't easy.
Sure. But I mean, when you're that young, you probably don't really remember a ton of the like traumatic parts of that, you know?
Yeah. But I'm sure going through it was not comfortable.
No, definitely not. And I'm sure for the parents, it was awful, too, because
so creepy.
So creepy. And you also never want to see your child like upset screaming and in pain.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. Yeah. There is also the thought that his trip to the flight museum may have triggered his imagination and the nightmares, but it seems unlikely that a flight museum would be designed in such a way to be intensely traumatic to a child. And he had many more than just a bad dream or two. By the report of his parents and his aunt, he had nightmares multiple times a week, always involving the same scenario. These types of nightmares and play appeared very similar to those that children who have experienced trauma in their current life display. Only James's seemed associated with events from distant past. So the whole scam idea also requires that James's statements matched Houston's life purely by chance. For a child to give an unusual name like Natoma for a ship that was indeed in the place he reported seems remarkable enough. When Jack Larson's name and the accurate details of Houston's death are added to it, coincidence appears to be an inadequate explanation. And the possibility that James learned about Natoma Bay and James Houston on his own isn't possible. He could not have learned from the people around him because they knew nothing about either the ship or Houston when he began talking about them. And James has made all of the documented statements by the time he was 4 years old, so he could not have read about them. No published materials about James Houston are even known to exist. No television programs focusing on Natoma Bay or James Houston appear to have been made either. And so that's kind of where James's story comes to an end. Later in his teen years, he planned to join the U.S. Marine Corps, but that's really all.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting because the whole point of the research is framed as a third explanation of how personalities are formed, and he ended up wanting to go into the military.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it seems pretty compelling.
I know. Yeah, this one has me convinced, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know what any of the counter arguments would be, but, it, you know, he does seem to address at least a few of them.
Yeah.
in from what you've told me.
Right. We went through quite a few counterarguments of like, well, yeah, you know, he learned it from the museum. No, he didn't. He learned it from his family. No, he didn't.
Coincidence.
There's way too much here for it to be a coincidence, in my opinion, at least. It's very interesting. And yeah, he's not the only one. I have another child that we're going to talk about.
Sweet. Okay. I'm bracing myself.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right, so our next child is Ryan Hammonds, born in Muskogee, Oklahoma in 2005. 10-year-old Ryan Hammonds grew up believing he was the reincarnation of film actor turned agent Marty Martin, who died in 1964. Marty
Wait,
Martin.
Wait, does this mean like 30 or 40 years from now we're going to like have reincarnations of crypto bros?
Oh, God. I hope not.
It's just like, Mom, you have to buy Bitcoin now. No, get on Coinbase and please. Start wheeling and dealing.
I really hope not. The first occurrences took place with Ryan when he was 5 years old. He would wake up in the middle of the night screaming and crying, which was something that became a common occurrence and was quite concerning for his mother, Cindy, who had no clue what was going on with him. It wasn't a monster in the closet. It was a past life. So,
okay.
After a year of frequent nightmares, Ryan felt like it was time to tell his mother he felt he used to be another person. When Ryan told his mother that, she was scared to death. She had no idea how to take that information. She had grown up a Baptist and didn't believe in the concepts of reincarnation, and decided for the time being she should keep that information concealed from Ryan's father. Over time, Ryan explained to his mother that he really believed he was reincarnated from a man who lived in Hollywood and died more than 50 years earlier. He would go on to tell his mother about his past life, including 5 different marriages, 2 sisters, his lavish trips to Europe, his many homes, and his experiences dancing on Broadway. He can even recall that in his past life, he was a part of an agency where people frequently changed their last names. What really caught his mother's attention was when Ryan told her he really loved Truaid, which was an orange soda that had been discontinued years before Ryan was even born.
Okay, so is he describing all of these details about his past life, like the 5 wives, the 2 sisters, like he's describing all of this?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, my favorite drink is Truaid. Have you even ever heard of Truaid? I've never heard of it.
No, and it also sounds like a terrible name for soda.
Right, but <What? laughs> it was an orange soda that's like really old.
Okay.
So, and sorry if, I don't know when it was discontinued, so sorry if that's,
whatever,
if people actually had it, I don't know.
I don't know. Try Faygo, it's better.
Sure. Cindy brought Ryan to the library and was fortunately able to find some books that were about the golden age of Hollywood. She turned to a page that had a black and white picture from an old Mae West film, and Ryan's eyes lit up. He immediately pointed to the man in the photo and told his mother that man in the photo was the man he was in his past life.
Whoa.
The only problem was the man in the photo was unidentified, and there was no way they could easily find out who he was unless they found someone who was an expert on old films. Unsure of what to do, Cindy decided to contact Dr. Jim Tucker, who is the other person who worked with Ian Stevenson. He was a child psychologist at University of Virginia who had a history of working with children who claimed to remember their past lives. After hearing Ryan's details about his past life, in addition to the mystery man in the picture, they decided to consult with a film archivist archivist, I don't know, in order to find out the identity of the man in the photo. The film archivist had discovered that the unnamed actor in the picture went by the name of Martin Martin, who at the time played an extra in the film they were in question about. Marty Martin, who was born in 1903, dreamed of being a movie star, but things never really turned out the way he wanted, which led him to opening and running his own talent agency, which turned out to be a success. In order to learn more about Martin's life, they decided to contact his daughters, who could ultimately prove if Ryan's details about Martin's life were correct. After listening to his daughters, they learned that 55 of Ryan's statements were perfect matches with Martin's life.
Wow. Out of how many statements?
I don't know, but I mean, 55 is a pretty big number.
It's true.
That included his 5 marriages, his siblings, how many children he had, and even the street he lived on, which was Roxbury Drive, which Ryan claimed had the word rock in it. He was...
Wait, no, no, no. So, like, his claim was, I lived on a street that started with rock?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Marty lived on Roxbury Drive.
Okay.
He was even correct about Marty giving his daughter a dog, which she didn't like.
Okay.
Like, very specific, weird details, you know?
Yeah.
His statement about being in an agency where people frequently changed their last names was also correct, because the agency Marty was involved in was a talent agency that gave people stage names.
Okay.
During another session with Dr. Tucker, Ryan wanted to know why God let him die at 61, only to let him come back as a baby. And after looking into it, there was a discrepancy in the age that Martin died. The death report claimed he died at 59, not 61, but Dr. Tucker decided to research old census reports and found a certificate that was inaccurate. It turned out Martin was born in 1903, not 1905, as provided by the census, which means Martin did, in fact, die at the age of 61.
Wow.
Isn't that okay. So wild?
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Wouldn't his daughters know that he died at 61?
Yeah, I would assume. But I mean, his death certificate, I guess, said 59. And then...
Interesting.
With further research, they were like, well,
that's wrong.
Actually, it's wrong. So that's kind of where Ryan's story ends in my research. But I do have some information from a Psychology Today article. It was an interview they did with Barbara Graham, who was interviewed about her book, What Jonah Knew, and about her research into children experiencing memories of past lives. And I found it pretty interesting. So the interviewer asked her, so if a therapist with no background in this had a young patient with these sorts of memories, how do you recommend they work with the child? And Barbara Graham said, 70% of the kids with memories of a previous life recall dying by murder, suicide, or an accident, and more than 35% show intense fear related to the manner of death. In his book, Return to Life, Tucker describes it as the kind of avoidant behavior that is part of the official DSM criteria for PTSD. For example, children who remember drowning are often terrified of water. I'm not a therapist, but I imagine that treating these kids would be no different than treating any child with phobias or who has experienced trauma and exhibits signs of PTSD, listening to them and taking seriously what they say.
Yeah. I mean, whether you believe they're real or not, like, the symptoms are real.
Right. The interviewer said, why do you think every child doesn't have memories of past life? And she said, I think it comes down to trauma or the degree of distress. If you accept the possibility that there is some continuity of consciousness after death, then it seems logical that those who die suddenly or violently would carry more of an imprint from the previous life than a 95-year-old who slips off peacefully in the night. What's more, according to Tucker, quote, dying young increases the likelihood that a child will later report memories of a previous life. The interviewer said, so you're suggesting that therapists should treat children with disturbing past life memories the same way they would treat other trauma? And she said, yes. Being believed can be very helpful. Carol Bowman, who has been documenting these sorts of cases for decades, says to parents in her book, Children's Past Lives, that, quote, these memories are an opportunity to heal unfinished business that otherwise might cause problems as your child grows into an adult. It is my understanding that kids who are allowed to speak openly about their memories have an easier time letting go of the past and adapting to their present life. And they said, can you give an example of that? And she said, yes. Tucker worked with a little boy named Cameron who lived in Glasgow, Scotland, and who at 2.5 began talking about his life in Barra, a remote island. By the time he turned 3, Cameron was insisting he wanted to, quote, go to Barra to my other family. He offered numerous details, including the family surname, Robertson, and was convinced that his Robertson father had been hit by a car and killed. And the interviewer said, he said all of this when he was 3? And she said, yes. And when Cameron was 5, Tucker accompanied him and his family to Barra to investigate and search for the Robertson home. When they finally found it and were allowed inside, Tucker reports that Cameron looked very sad. His mother, Norma, asked him if he missed his Barra mother, and Cameron nodded, leaning into her for comfort. And though not every detail the boy remembered could be verified, his mother said that Cameron was much calmer after the trip to Barra. In return to life, Tucker explained that Cameron, quote, seemed to have seen enough to validate in his own mind that the memories he had experienced were real. And the interviewer then said, what happens to kids like Cameron when they get a little older? And she said, the research shows that by the time children are 6 or 7, their memories of the previous life begin to fade, much in the same way that very early childhood memories fade in everyone. In most of these cases, the older children are, the more they identify with their current life, until eventually, the past life memories all but disappear.
Interesting.
But it seems like it can kind of affect a child's personality, you know?
Oh,
like we talked about in the beginning.
Yeah, and it also causes severe distress.
Yeah, in many cases. There's so many like behaviors in these children who experience memories of past lives that are the same. And there's many of them do experience like traumatic nightmares or, you know, whatever, memories or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, I mean, that's where my research ends. So I guess the story ends there, but isn't that such an interesting topic? I could look into that for so long. If you want another episode where we talk about more children and their stories of like their past lives, I'd love to do it. So yeah. Let me know.
Yeah, no, this is really interesting. I just don't know, like, let's say for the sake of argument that this is true.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do new? Or is it just going to be like a mind-blown experience?
Like in another episode, you mean?
No, just as people.
Oh.
Like, let's say like, oh yeah, reincarnation's real. Then what?
I mean, it's like any other thing. I don't know. Then what? Who knows?
I don't know. They start trying to like control what you get reincarnated as.
Oh, Jesus.
Whoa.
That's weird. And also, if it does happen more frequently in like someone who dies suddenly or in a traumatic way, like, I don't know. They're like, oh, I'll just come back. Like, I don't know.
Well.
It's interesting to think about, though.
Yeah. A lot of thoughts. The fact that proximity sometimes is a factor, but sometimes cannot be.
Yeah.
The length of time seems malleable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I wonder if there's a range of time that they observed. Like, oh, we haven't seen any cases of people having memories older than X number of years, or if it's just that there aren't enough documents or people still around to verify those cases.
That would be an interesting thing to look into is like now kids being born like, you know, today in 2 years,
right.
Are they saying they're reincarnated from World War II or are they saying, you know,
Iraq
earlier than that? Right.
Vietnam.
Or I mean, later than that.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting thought. I don't know. But yeah, I had something to say, but it flew out of my head. So I don't know. But
wait, did you ever have any memories like this that your mom said?
I feel like either my mom or mama, who is my mom's mom, has some kind of past life memory. I know one of them does. They have like a very distinct memory of like a farmhouse and like some, like their mother ringing the dinner bell and like all of them running to get like food. I don't really remember exactly what it is and or who said it, but yes, I have heard of people being like, oh, I remember their past life. Or someone who sees a psychic or, you know, someone who can give you information on your past life. Like that's also a thing. So yeah, I don't know. It just depends on how woo-woo and spiritual you want to get. But I find it very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at a certain point when you can verify it so thoroughly.
Directly. Yeah.
And directly. I don't know. I don't even know if it becomes spiritual. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be. When you're like, I mean, it's just like, how do you just dismiss all of it?
Oh, I remember what my thought was. I saw one case where this woman's brother had died like very suddenly in like a car accident. Mm-hmm. And then she had her son and
no,
and he was saying things that her brother knew and like would call her and like things like that. So it was like, you know, directly like, oh, my brother died. And then I had my baby who I believe is my reincarnated brother. Like,
wow.
Really interesting stuff. And that's like that's another thought of like your, I can't remember what it's called exactly, but like your spirit family or something. Like there, it's the idea that all the people in your life that you love or, you know, interact with have been in your past lives as well, but as a different role. So like in this lifetime, you're my partner and, you know, whatever, but in another lifetime, you could have been, I don't know, someone else to me.
Hmm.
And vice versa. Like your mother could have been your child in your past lifetime or your sister or something like that. So it's an interesting concept that I find very comforting, honestly.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know about that concept.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, beliefs in religion are, you know, it's very interesting. There's so many different iterations of it and, you know, just can't disprove it.
Yeah. I also find it really cool that so many religions do subscribe to the idea of reincarnation. So it's like, you know, you don't have to necessarily follow one religion. Like they all kind of broadly say the same thing, which I also find very cool. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's a weird world and we'll never know all about it. There's always going to be the unknown, but it's fun to talk about at the very least.
Oh yeah.
But I wanted to talk about it because it's spooky season and this has a little sprinkling of spooky to it.
Oh, absolutely. No, so, this was awesome.
Awesome. Great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, me too. Well, I think that's about all I have to say about that for now, at least. Why don't we finish off with a good thing? We can go back to our normal lives as normal. Tell me something good.
My good thing this week is that we are visiting the zoo.
Ah, you stole my good thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Another one.
No. Go ahead.
We are dressing up as party animals, and I am a beaver. Yes. Am I a beaver?
Yeah. You are a beaver with a massive hood that like has a big beaver head on it, and I'm so excited.
Yes.
Yeah, we're basically going to the zoo and walking around with our friends and like drinking a bunch of like alcohol that they have set up at booths. And we're dressing up in animal onesies with party hats and we're being party animals. So
yep.
I'm very excited.
So I'm excited. It's going to be a good time. Yeah. I mean, the only problem with the costume is that it is so tight on the crotch. Like
yeah.
I might have to stretch it out or something, but it's clearly the right size for me, except for that one detail.
Right. <You know>? Yeah. both of ours are just a little tight.
Just too tight. So, what are you again? Are you a monkey?
I'm a monkey, yeah.
Yeah.
And I got mine off of Amazon and all of the reviews were like, order two sizes up. Like this thing is small.
Oh, yeah.
And I did. I ordered two sizes up and I got it. And I was like, this is like damn near a little too tight for me. It was crazy.
Yeah. No, I remember you showing me and you're like, oh, it was blank. And I was like, that is two sizes smaller than what it should have been.
Right. It just looks way smaller than it is or than it should be. But anyway, that's good.
And what is your good thing? Well, now that I've stolen yours.
Yeah, that was going to be my good thing. I guess my good thing is that we have figured out our Halloween costumes and we're going to a couple different Halloween parties in the next coming weeks. And I'm really excited. And I'm going to gatekeep our costume until later on because I want to do some kind of makeup Instagram look and I'm being a little bitch about it. So
you're being a little coy.
I'm being coy with it.
Which is fine.
Yeah. But you'll see eventually if you want to head over to Instagram. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to get access to a bunch of bonus episodes, one is coming out this week or it should already be out. Head over to Patreon at patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. We have like 31 or 32 bonus episodes over there that are equally as long and even more interesting because our patrons vote on the stories they want to hear. So if you want to do that and hear a bunch, go over there. If you or anyone you know has a story of survival or something crazy that's happened to you and you'd like to share it with us and possibly hear it on an upcoming listeners episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. Head over to Instagram and see all the pictures we post of all the stories we talk about at notoday_podcast. We've got a new Halloween design in the making over on our merch shop. I'll leave the link in the episode's description, and also you can find it over on Instagram in our bio. We have a TikTok that is Not Today Podcast and a Twitter that is Not Today Podcast, but the TNN Podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.